Great. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Well, you can do better than that. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? The ushers come. We're going to pick up the offering tonight's service. I want to thank you guys for your faithfulness, for your giving to the work of God, that may God bless you in which ways that we don't know. Only God knows that. But how many of you have a need tonight?
Amen. You know, amen.
Let's believe God tonight as we give to his work and ask that he would open up heaven and pour out a blessing upon us tonight. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you in this house tonight. Lord, we just worship you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to give to you, Lord, to your work, to bless your work, Father God. And tonight, Lord, we just bring all of our needs, Lord, all that is represented here, all the petitions, Father God, Lord, that you would meet every single need in this place tonight, Lord, that you would bless them in their coming and their going, Lord, that you would bless their bodies, their homes, their families, their children, Father God, their finances, but above all, spiritually, Lord, that you would meet every single need, Lord. And we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's raise your hand.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No. Hey. My love.
for me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit.
Tonight about the love of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to share a little testimony about the love of Jesus and how far he will go.
Hallelujah.
We were, last summer, my husband and I were able to join some of his family in Hawaii for a little vacation, and we were due to go home on, I believe it was a Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, I think it was a Friday, and there was a hurricane supposedly coming to Louisiana, and so they canceled our flights. So we ended up staying an extra day in Hawaii. I know, it's terrible. It's just really terrible. We were actually ready to get home though, so we were a little bit like, you know, kind of disappointed that we weren't able to go home that day. So we decided, since we had an extra evening, we had been with family all week, we decided, my husband and I, we were gonna go into town and have dinner by ourselves. So we did that, and after dinner, we decided to get some ice cream, and we went, there was a little area that had like a wall, and on the other side of the wall was the ocean, and there was lots of rocks and all that. So we were sitting there eating our ice cream, and I had noticed this this lady down the way from us, and I just kept noticing her. She just looked really, really down and in despair, and she walked by us like a few times. She kept walking by us, and I just, when I looked at her face, I just saw the depth of darkness on her life. And she had just a huge bottle of beer with her. And she kept walking back and forth. And my heart just like started racing, because I knew that I needed to go speak to her. Now, anybody that knows me, I don't do those kinds of things. I think there are people who are called to evangelize. I'm not one of them. I've never been that kind of person. I think it's wonderful people that do that, that just walk up to some. Now, I'm not saying I've never spoke to somebody about the Lord, because I have shared the Lord, but not walked up to a random stranger and just shared the Lord with them. But it was so strong on me, and I knew that I kept looking at David, hopefully maybe the Lord was actually speaking to him to go talk to her, because like, maybe it's not me. I just know that somebody needs to go talk to her. And he kind of was looking at me too. He told me later that he knew one of us was supposed to go talk to her. And it got to a point where I knew it, I felt it so strong that I felt like God was gonna strike me dead if I didn't go speak to this woman. And I went up to her, and I don't remember all of what I told her. And I didn't try to get her saved. I didn't say the sinner's prayer with her. I just said, look, and I could tell she was kind of like rolling her eyes and literally like, ugh. Because like, we had seen people all over the town. It was a Friday night in town and people were walking around with big signs and, you know, passing out tracts and that kind of thing. Again, I'm not knocking that, but I think she had probably been approached many times. And I just went up to her and I said, look, I don't normally do this kind of thing and I'm actually supposed to be on the other side of the country right now. I said, but I know the Lord has me here because he wanted me to come and tell you that he loves you.
Amen.
And he has provided for you and he's made a way for you. And I said, no matter what you're going through, I said, he sees you and he has made a way for you. And I'm not even sure what all the rest I said to her. I could tell at first she kind of was really resistant, but then she kind of dropped her head and she looked at me and she said, I really needed this tonight. And like I said, I didn't, you know, lead her in the sinner's prayer. I don't even know, you know, if she ever is going to get saved or anything like that. But when I walked away, my husband and I just walked away. And it was like, as I was walking away, the Lord literally opened my eyes to what was going on. And I remember, it was like a flash in my mind. I saw her. She had walked by several times and she kept looking over the wall as she was walking by. And she'd sit down and she'd get back up and she'd go and look over the wall. And I really believe that she was contemplating taking her life that night. And you know, it ended up that hurricane was never a hurricane. Nothing happened. And I thought, I was so overwhelmed as we were walking back with the love that he had for this woman, that he sent somebody just across the country, that was why I was there. And I told David, I said, this is why we stayed. And again, I don't know that she got saved, but I know that he loved her so much that he sent somebody there across the country to a place I'd never been to speak to her and to tell her how much he loved her. So if you're believing for somebody tonight, no matter where they are, I'm telling you, God will get a hold of them. God will send somebody to them. If you don't even know where they are, God will send somebody to them and he will show them the love that he has for them. And I believe with all my heart that one day this woman is going to get saved and that she's going to stand up and tell the testimony. You know what? I was ready to take my life and somebody came and told me about the love of God. I'm believing for that. Amen. His love is so endless and so profound and so beyond understanding. Amen. Just be thankful for the love of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
precious is his name tonight. Tonight I want you to just lift up his name. I want you to think about everything that his name encompasses tonight. Everything that you need, it is in his name, amen. Precious is the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. precious name. You want to know how much God loves you? Just look at what God did to redeem you. Amen. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. Don't ever doubt that God loves you. If you ever have a doubt, just remember what he provided for you in Christ and what he allowed his son to go through so that you may have life and you may have life more abundantly. Amen. See, we've always got something to praise God about. You've always got something to praise God about. And that's Jesus. That's the blood that was shed. That's the price that was paid. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives and our circumstances and in our situations. We can always praise him. Amen. Because of Jesus. That should be the basis of your praise. Amen. Because Jesus loves. Oh, the grace of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. Thank him for his love and thank him for his faithfulness. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All the time. Yes. And it's just such a privilege to be with you all and to worship the Lord with you. And to have the opportunity to do so, we don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. It's always a great opportunity to be with the people of God and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's incumbent upon us as God's people, and I've shared this in bits and pieces over the last couple of nights, that it's imperative that when we come into the house of God, that we come ready to worship.
Yes.
We come full of God's Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
You know, we have to get out of the mindset that we come into the house of God just for us to get blessed, just for us to get filled, just for us to have an experience with the Lord. And I think we've been living in our experiences too much as Pentecostals, amen, as Spirit-filled believers. And God's will and God's desire for his people is that we live a lifestyle of being full of the Spirit, and therefore when we come into the house of God, we come into the house of God full of the Spirit and ready to worship him. Ready to give him glory, ready to give him honor. Remember, you're the temple of God. God's not in this building. He's not even in the speakers and the instruments and all of these things. God dwells in you. Amen. He dwells in you. And if you're going to have, if we're going to have a good church, and whatever church that you belong to, if we're going to have good church, it is dependent upon the people of God coming into the house of God and being ready to worship him, ready to bless him. Amen. We got to get out of the mindset, folks, that this is just bless me, meet my need, fulfill me. No, we come into the house of God to give, to bless the Lord, oh my soul, amen, and all that is within me. And when we do that, what happens as we begin to praise God and glorify God, God's glory begins to settle upon his people. Because the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells in the midst of us. He wants to manifest his glory and his power and his presence in the midst of his people. But we're depending upon the preacher to do it. We're depending upon the singers. We're depending upon the musicians. We're depending upon someone else to make that happen and produce that. But it's you. It's you. And I don't know what church, I don't know how many of you belong to this church or what church you belong to, but it is your responsibility to come into the house of God and be full of God's Spirit and be ready to worship him so that God can have the liberty to move. Amen. He can have the liberty to move. You see, we are the greatest hindrance to a move of God. We are the greatest hindrance to the manifestation of God's Spirit and God's power resting upon an assembly and resting upon us. It's us. I tell my students at the Bible college that the buck stops here. And that's the truth. And you can say that to yourself. You can do what I'm doing and say, the buck stops here. And if God is going to move, it's dependent upon me receiving from Him, first of all, walking in faith, walking in relationship, and living a lifestyle of being full of His Spirit. And when we do that, my friend, that's when God will begin to reveal Himself and manifest Himself in His church, in His people, in and through you. For it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're expecting glory some other way. It's Christ in you. Amen. You're the temple of God. I'm trying to get you to believe something. I'm trying to get you to understand. You're the temple of God. You. God wants to manifest Himself. God wants to reveal Himself. That's what He's all about with the body of Christ. He's all about revealing Himself and manifesting His power and His glory. And the reason why He was able to do that in the book of Acts is because He had a people that were yielded and surrendered to Him. A people that said, Lord, I'm a vessel fit for Your use, and You can use me and You can flow through me. We hinder that flow. You're the connection, if you will, between heaven and earth. You're Jesus in this earth. You're the hands of God extended. You're His feet. If the world is going to see Jesus, He's going to see it in you, or they're not going to see it in you, depending upon how you submit yourself to Him and surrender to Him and allow His Spirit to fill you. Only to that degree will there be a testimony in this earth. It's you. You say, well, brother, that lays a pretty heavy responsibility. You bet it does. It lays on you a very heavy responsibility. And you need to fear God, because you, as a child of God, you are responsible for the move of God, if you will, and people being reached by the power of God. They will know that you are my disciples by what? By the love that you have for one another. Amen. That's what the world is looking for. They're looking for something real. They're looking for the love of God through the people of God. They're looking for the people of God walking in peace and walking in power and walking in freedom and walking in liberty. That's really what the world is looking for. Fortunately, what they're seeing is they're seeing a form of godliness, but no power. A form, but no power, no reality. And it's time the church of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ living in you and through you. Paul said this, that Christ lives in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. I'm buried with Him in baptism. I'm raised with Him to newness of life. You're living as a child of God. You ought to live the resurrection life of Almighty God. That's your responsibility. Not the pastor. Not the worship leader. That's you individually. You have the responsibility to submit yourself to the Lord. Submit to His redemption plan. Yield to what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross. Live and walk in the power and in the presence of Almighty God. We wonder why God doesn't move. It's because we aren't ready for Him to move. He can't move through us. Man, if you could get a room full of people even this size that are just full of the glory and the power and the presence of God, and you'll come in to the assembly, to the gathering, to the church house, and you'll come in ready to worship Him, to lift up holy hands and bless His name and praise His. There's no telling what God might do in your midst. Amen. That's when the glory cloud comes. That's when people are healed miraculously. That's when people get saved. You know, there can be the glory of God in the midst of a people so strong that when they walk in the assembly, they can get saved. They can get delivered. They can get healed, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because God's presence is resting upon a people. Amen? Whether you believe that or not, it's the truth. And that's your responsibility as a child of God, to be that. That's what God is looking for in these last days. I want to look at for a few moments here, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin in verse 14. Ephesians 5 and 14. I preached this in Family Worship Center, I don't know, several months ago. And I feel that the Lord has quickened it in my heart to share some things with you regarding these passages. While you're turning there, I just want to make mention of the product table that we have outside here. Take advantage of that. And we got Martha's CDs, songs that she's sung over the last couple of nights are on those CDs. So make yourself available to that. And, you know, we don't want to go back with all that stuff. I don't want Martha to have to carry all that back. Amen. I think everybody knows that. Anyhow, take advantage of the things that will bless you there. All right, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleep." That's a message in itself, isn't it? Awake, thou that sleep. He's not talking about lost people. This is a letter to the church, to the body of Christ. Awake, thou that sleepest. Most Christians, unfortunately, are sleeping. Sleeping. Oh, they're saved, but they're sleeping. They're not awake. They're not vigilant. They're not spiritually alert. They're sleeping. Awake, thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead. That tells you right there that there's some Christians that are dead. Oh, they're saved, but they're spiritually dead. They don't have the life of God flowing through them. They don't have the power of God moving in them. You that are dead, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? It means to walk straight, perfectly, most exact and upright. It really means this circumspectly, to order your behavior according to the covenant, according to what God has provided in Christ. It's not just being morally acceptable, or, you know, in the eyes of the world. That's not what it means to walk circumspectly. It's not just doing good things and not doing bad things, but it is walking according to covenant. It's living according to covenant. Covenant meaning Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Walk circumspectly. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Walk in a straight manner. Walk according to the covenant. Walk according to the way that God has provided. Because if you don't, you're a fool. If you do, you're wise. Amen? You know, you read the Proverbs, it talks about not exhortation, proverb after proverb. Don't be a fool. Obey God. Obey his commandment. Obey him. Amen? Walk before him. When you go the way of God, you go the way of covenant. When you go the way of faith and Calvary's cross, you're living and walking in wisdom. Amen? The wisdom of God. If you don't do it, you're a fool. You're a fool. So remember, he is referring to believers here. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. That statement right there. To rescue from loss, to improve opportunity, redeeming the time. Serve God. Give him your everything. Give him your all in all, because you don't have much time, my friend. And the days are short and the days are evil. You don't have much. Redeem the time. It's time to get serious about the things of God. For the days are evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That should be a desire that every one of us has, to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's not just referring to God's plan for you, God's ministry for you, or his vocation for you, whatever that may be, but that's referring also to your relationship and your walk in faith according to covenant. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. I can prophesy to every one of you what God's will is for your life. And that's that you submit yourself and yield yourself to the redemption plan of God, and you put your faith in Calvary's cross, and you live your life in him. Paul said in praying for the Colossian believers, He prayed for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they may walk a walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. You see, when you live according to covenant, when you live according to faith in the redemption plan of God, faith in the cross, my friend, you're in the will of God, and your vocation and what God has called you to do, that will be revealed to you. Your number one responsibility and your first order is to live and walk according to covenant relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Pray with me. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, give us understanding and give us revelation of it, Lord. Father, I pray that your word would draw us closer to you. It wouldn't just be doctrine. It wouldn't just be dead letter of the law. It wouldn't just be theology, Lord God. But Lord, may it be Spirit and may it be life, O Lord. Grant your people the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Son of the living God. Open up the eyes of our heart, Lord God, that we may know you in a deeper way and in a greater way. Lord, we'll thank you for it tonight. We say it in Jesus' name. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with Spirit. That is not a suggestion. And again, remember that the Apostle Paul is addressing Christians. So that tells us one thing, that just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you are living a lifestyle of being filled or full of the Spirit of God. Because if it was just a given for every born-again believer that you live a Spirit-filled life, why would the Apostle Paul have to exhort these believers to be filled? And incidentally, that statement, be filled, it means to be being filled. In other words, a continuous action. In the Greek, it is a continuous action. And literally, it means this. It means moment by moment being controlled by the Spirit of God. You see, that's what you are commanded to live by on a daily basis. Not just daily, not just hourly, but moment by moment. You say, well, brother, how is it possible for me to live a Spirit-filled life all the time? All the time. I mean, when you're on the job. I mean, when you're at home, when you're taking care of your business at home, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a student, whether you labor somewhere. Brother, how do I live a Spirit-filled life? How do I constantly, continually be being filled with the Spirit and being controlled by the Spirit of God? How do I do that? There's only one way, and that's faith in the cross, faith in Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. You see, unless you surrender to that and you put your faith in that, you cannot live a Spirit-filled life. And as I mentioned last night, I am convinced that most Pentecostals and believers who claim to be Spirit-filled are not living Spirit-filled lives. Oh, they have the label, they have the name, Pentecostal, Charismatic, whatever it may be. But they're not living in reality, they're not living a life of being full of the Spirit of God. That is the command of God. Again, this is not a suggestion. In the Greek, the imperative, the mood is imperative, and that means that it is not a suggestion. It is a command. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, well, it's just not my thing to live a Spirit-filled life. It's not my thing to speak in tongues. It's not my thing to exhibit the Spirit-filled life. It's just not my thing. You know, I want to be a good Christian, but I don't really care about, or I'm not concerned about being Spirit-filled. But it's God's will and God's desire for you that you live that kind of a lifestyle. Amen? of being full of the Spirit of God. That's the command. That's what Paul is saying here. Be filled, be moment by moment controlled by the Spirit of God. Now what we see here in the following verses, and I'm not going to camp here at each one too long, we would be here all night, but what we see in the following verses here now is the fruit or the manifestation of being full of God's Spirit, of living in reality a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled life. And the first thing that we see here is speaking to yourselves, and that's referring to corporate worship. Speaking to ourselves, all right? Worshiping God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what we did here tonight, in a sense. We were singing, we were worshiping God, all right? And what I'm saying here tonight is this. If you are Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, being full of God's Spirit on a continual basis, when you come into the house of God, it's going to be a given that you are ready to worship and ready to praise your God. Amen. In fact, it is a command for you to do so. You have a responsibility. This is a different message, but you are a holy priesthood. And priests have responsibility. And one of your responsibilities as a priest is to offer up to God the sacrifice of praise continually. You say, well, you know, thank God that we don't live under the law anymore and under the old covenant, and we no longer have earthly priests and who had to go into the sanctuary and do all of those things that they did. And thank God that we don't have that anymore. Man, we can just sit back. You know, there is rest in God and Christ, but unfortunately our sitting back becomes apathy.
That's right.
And lethargy and laziness. And this is what we see in the church, and many of you fall into this category. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm really saying the church in general is we have the consumer mentality. We come into the house of God and we come in, all right, bless me. I put a buck in the bucket. Now, you know, it's your responsibility, man. You better sing some good music, some good worship, and preacher, you better preach a good message because I want to be blessed. And if I'm not blessed by you, I'm going to another church. Why don't you stay in the church you're at, and why don't you be a vessel that God can use, amen, to bring about the glory of God and the presence of God. If you would just come into God's house full of the Holy Ghost and ready to cut loose and ready to worship Him and ready to open your mouth and ready to praise your God, because God inhabits the praises of His people. That means when the praises go up, the glory comes down. Amen. Man, I'm shocked at the people of God who claim to be Pentecostal, claim to be Spirit-filled, and they come into the house of God and their lips are zipped so tight that they couldn't even eat if they were starving. Well, that ought to be the time that you come, because you're free.
Hallelujah.
You're liberated.
Hallelujah.
Your conscience has been free. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you to the very core of your conscience and the very depths of your heart. And you're liberated and you're free. And you just want to express to your God how much you love Him. And praise Him. I'll say this like I said the other night. If you can't do it in the house of God, you're not doing it anywhere else. You're not doing it continually. You're not doing it at home. You're not doing it on the job. You're not doing it when you're driving down the road. You say, brother, come on, that's fanaticism. No, let me tell you something. You live a lifestyle of being full of God. This is going to flow. I'm not talking you just constantly with your mouth. You know, you got jobs to do. But I'm talking about something that's welling up within you. And you just want to praise Him. And, you know, it shouldn't be a forced thing.
That's right.
It shouldn't be a fleshy thing that we, well, you know, the pastor said that we got to praise God, or we got to make noise, we got to clap, and we got to do this, so let's just do it. No, there's nothing worse than Pentecostal flesh. In other words, you're just doing something just to do it. You're just making noise. And I've been into some churches like that, where they're just clapping and they're shouting, and it's just flesh, it's just carnality. I'm talking about a genuine, overflowing response, because you're full of the Holy Ghost and you just want to praise your God. You just want to say hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. See, we as Pentecostals, we've been living in our experiences. Most of you who call yourself Pentecostal, you had an experience, first of all, of being born again. And then you had an experience, whether it be at an altar or whether it be anywhere, in your car, at home, where you had an experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You spoke with tongues. And then you came into church at any other given time and you had another experience. And you spoke with tongues. There was an anointed worship song, and the Spirit of God moved, and you spoke with tongues, and you had an experience. Let me tell you something. The Spirit-filled life is not based on experiences. It is a constant. It is a continual thing. And we have to get to the place to where we are not dependent upon these experiences. The only experience that you need is what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and your faith in that. And if you have that, my friend, you'll be full continually and controlled by the Spirit of God. Man. And the fruit of living a Spirit-controlled life is speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among corporately, and then making melody in your heart to the Lord, like I spoke about a moment ago, when you're alone. Let me ask you something. When you're alone, is there a melody in your heart? I can honestly say, and I'm not boasting, and I'm not saying that I have arrived, because God knows that I haven't, but I can honestly say, when I am alone, when I'm in my car driving down the road, when I'm in my house, even if I'm watching a football game or a basketball game, there's a melody. Amen. In my heart. There's a praise on my lips, because the Spirit of God is in me. When He's in you, my friend, He wants to come out. Yes. Jesus said this. He said, out of your innermost being, remember this? Yes. Shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Yes. My God, where's the flowing, gushing river in the hearts and lives of God's people? Man, that speaks of just an overflowing, gushing river that is just overpowering. Let's be honest with ourselves. If that's you, when you come into the house of God and it comes time to worship, man, you're not going to be standing there.
Amen.
Just kind of looking around, not feeling anything. You see, if that's you, then you're not Spirit-filled. You're not really a Pentecostal. It's time for us as believers that we, by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, allow ourselves to live a lifestyle of being Spirit-filled. Yeah. Talking here about fruit of that.
Yeah.
Fruit of that. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. You'll have that welling up within you. And this is what also will be a fruit of someone who is controlled by the Spirit of God. You'll be giving thanks always.
Amen.
Come on now, let's examine ourselves. Are we giving thanks always? That means even when circumstances aren't going our way. That means even when we're going through the valley. How many have been through a valley? You've been through a valley?
Oh,
okay. you're older than two, you've been through a bout. And that means that you have a thankfulness because you know that your God is in control. Amen. You know that your life is given over to Him and that He is in control of you. That's a fruit of a Spirit-filled life. You're giving thanksgiving. The Bible says in a couple of places, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. I don't remember where the other one is. But it says, give thanks in all things and give thanks for all things. Amen. That means despite the circumstances, give thanks. And give thanks for all things means you give thanks for what God has provided for you and given to you in Christ. Amen. That means you always have something to thank God for. Brother, I'm terminally ill. I've lost a family member. My marriage is coming apart. My children are strayed away from God. You still, my friend, have something to thank God. In fact, you thanking and praising God will probably very well be the thing that will turn that situation around. Amen. So, Spirit-filled people are a thankful people, always, for all things. God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means according to Calvary, according to what Jesus did on that cross. Now we get into some practicalities here in our everyday living. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Spirit-filled people submit to one. What that really means is this. Submitting to one another means this. You are obligated to love one another and to serve one another. Let's examine ourselves. Are we loving one another the way that we should? And are we serving one another? I just want to serve you. I'm here for you. It's not about me. It's about you. You see, that makes marriages wonderful. When you have the husband and the wife, that they're not about themselves. I just want to serve you. I just want to make things good for you. I want to accommodate you. It's not about me. It's all about you. Is that us? That's a fruit. Being Spirit-filled. Submitting yourselves. One, two, and then we get more specific here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see, if you're a Spirit-filled wife, there's not going to be any problem you submitting, serving, and loving your husband. Amen. It'll just be a fruit. You see, if you're not Spirit-filled, you can't do that. People that don't have the Spirit of God, you can't submit. You know why? Because it's all about me. You know, I used to hear this statement that marriage is a 50-50 thing. No, it's not. Not a 50-50, it's a 100-100 thing. You give yourself all to that, first of all, to the Lord, of course, but you're willing to give yourself to that person, and when you got two people that are willing to give themselves wholly to each other, then you've got a wonderful marriage. You've got a blessed marriage. No, it ain't going to be perfect, but it's going to be blessed, and it's going to be wonderful. Because you're giving yourself, you're submitting yourselves one to another. Submit your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, the husband is, and we were talking about order in God's government. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ladies, if you can't submit to your husband, then that's a good indication that you're not living a Spirit-filled life.
That's right.
Understand, we grow in this. But just remember that that is a fruit of being Spirit-filled. You see, that goes contrary to the world. You tell a worldly person today with all this craziness going on in our society, and men don't know that they're men, and women don't know that they're women, and women are wearing the pants, and the men are wearing the dresses, and man, it's just a mess. But you tell a woman in today's day, you need to submit to your husband. You need to submit to one another. and say, you're crazy. I'm not submitting to anybody. Because they're selfish. Because they don't have the Spirit of God. Someone who's full of God's Spirit will do that. Then he says this in verse 25. This is Spirit-filled believer. Husbands, love your wives. Even, notice this, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband, if you can't love your wife to the degree that you're laying your life down for her the way Christ did. In other words, again, it's not all about you. It's all about that woman that God has given to you. You love her enough that you're going to prefer her. You're going to put her first. It's not about, oh, you just meet my needs. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to love you. I want things to be good for you. I want to lay my life down for you. See, that's a fruit of being Spirit-filled. Let's examine ourselves. Are we good Pentecostals? That's good Pentecostals. I've seen, you know, people call themselves Pentecostals. They speak in tongues like crazy, man. They'll cut up in church. They'll dance, they'll shout, then they go home and they're arguing and slashing their wife down and cutting her down and not loving her the way that they should. Well, that's not a good Pentecostal, my friend. And women not submitting to their husband, if you are a good Pentecostal, a fruit of the Spirit of God will be that submission to that one. Again, it begins really with submitting to one another. We're all to submit, even men to their husbands, to wives to husband. It goes both ways. You have to do that first before you can enter into that order of God as far as the woman or the government of God, the woman submitting to the head of that household, the husband.
That's right.
But that's a fruit of the Spirit of God. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He goes on and deals with that some more. And I want to get into some other things here. And beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1. And again, I don't want to dwell on these very long, but again, this is a fruit of being Spirit-filled. Children, obey your parents. And I'm going to speak to you children for a minute. You're going to be a Spirit-filled child, you obey your parents. Let me ask you, are you rebellious to your parents? Well, if you're claiming to be Spirit-filled, you will obey them in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That is a fruit of being full of God's Spirit. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long in the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, we don't deal with that today, but let me ask you this, and I'll end with this one here. How do you deal with your work situation, whether you are an employee or an employer? You see, Spirit-filled employees and employers will conduct themselves a certain way. You will obey those whom are over you. Amen? Supervisors, bosses. You will work as unto the Lord. That's Spirit-filled believers. Amen? And employers, you will conduct yourself in a manner to your employees. You will not be harsh to them. You will be kind to them. Again, it all is based on submitting to one another, even employees to employer and employer to employer. That's Spirit-filled belief. So there is some fruit here. That's all I'm trying to say here tonight, that there is some fruit here of being a Spirit-filled believer. And I think that we, as Pentecostals, we need to examine ourselves and determine whether we are really living a Spirit-controlled, moment-by-moment life.
Amen.
Do we have a praise on our lips?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Making melody in our heart. Are we submitting to one another as the body of Christ? Are we living in right relationship as husbands and wives, as children and parents? You see, that's a good Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Not someone that just speaks in tongues real good. Yeah. Put on a good show at church. And you go home and you're not Pentecostal. What are we? In secret. Amen?
Yes.
It's God's will that we live spirit-controlled, spirit-led lives.
Amen.
And I'll just close again with this statement. I made it a moment ago, but it is impossible for you to do that. With man, it is impossible, but with God, it is.
Yes.
With God, it is. I know what I'm telling you, it almost sounds like it's out of reach. It almost sounds like it's fanatical. It's, you know, it's something that there's no way that I could attain to that kind of a life. And again, I don't, you know, it doesn't all happen overnight. This is a process. We grow in this. But the question is, are we growing in it? Are we moving in that direction? Are our lives more and more being submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and yielded to Him so that His Spirit can fill us? Amen? Is our faith in the cross of Calvary so the Spirit of God can work in our life so that we can submit ourselves one to another in a better way so that we as husbands can love our wives the way that as wives we can submit to our husbands and so on and so forth? Are we growing in that? It's impossible. You cannot do that in yourself, but by your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, you can live according to that standard. There's never a command given in the Word of God that God does not give you the ability to perform it. So everything that I've said in these passages of Scripture, if you will submit properly to the Lord, the Spirit of God will help you to be everything that He's called you to be. Amen. Amen. We shout. We dance. Man, we make noise in church. Who cares? That doesn't really impress God. I'll tell you what impresses Him more. When you can love your wife the way that you should. When you ladies can submit to your husbands the way that you should. When you can respect and honor an employer. You can honor your employees and treat them with kindness, love. So on that impresses God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Father, the challenge has gone forth to your people, Lord, according to your word. And Father, I just pray that this word would take root within their hearts, Lord, that it would be a seed that would just begin to grow, Heavenly Father. And Lord, that they would live according to the manner and the way that you have ordained for them to live as spirit-led, spirit-controlled, spirit-filled believers on a continual basis, for that's your will for them. Lord, we thank you for it. We heed to the challenge, Lord. We submit to the challenge. And we thank you that you give us. This is not just an egregious command that we cannot attain to. But Lord, we recognize that you give us what we need to do it, Lord. By your grace, by your help, Father. We say it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're not going to belabor anything. We're going to worship for a few moments. And just take to heart what was spoken here. And just, Lord, I want to be. I may not understand everything. It may not all come together overnight. But Lord, I just want to be that. I want to be spirit-filled. I want to live that on a continual and a constant basis. I want that. And if you're sincere and you really want it, God will begin to do that and begin to reveal that to you. And He's going to reveal Christ to you is what He's going to do. And He's going to help you to submit to Him in a greater way. Amen. Whatever you feel that, sister, you go ahead. Lead us in worship.
When the music
hallelujah
fades, my all is stripped away.
It's all about you. Thank you.
Churches tomorrow. If you can make it out, we'll be here at 10 a.m. God bless everyone. We love you in the Lord. Don't forget to go back and be a good Christian and go to that table back there.
Amen. You
say, brother, I got plenty. I got three. You know what? Be a good Christian and bless somebody else. God bless you guys. You guys have a blessed night.
Hallelujah.